You please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pardon me as I just took a cough drop. So today is an interesting day in the liturgical year. If you looked at the front of your bulletin, you saw it was Christ the King Sunday, sometimes known as the Reign of Christ. It's also the last day of the liturgical year. Next year, we begin a new reading of lectionary readings. So we're in year C right now, and next year we begin year A. You may have wondered why we were reading this passage from Luke today. It may have struck you that that would be more appropriate for Good Friday. If this is Christ the King Sunday, why are we reading a passage from the Passion? How is this witnessing to God's power in Jesus as the King of the earth? Those are all fair questions. But I would have to ask you, as you're asking yourself these questions, that you set aside some of your prejudices, some of your preconceptions about what a king is. What do you think of? What do you envision when you think of a king? Nothing? Okay, that's a possibility. But if you think about the fairy tales you heard when you were a child, if you think about movies, if you think about TV, a king is generally well-dressed, hopefully is noble of character. We'd like to think that that person is someone we could look up to. That's not the image that we're given from Luke's lesson today, are we? This does not seem like a king, and it definitely doesn't fit into the image that had been abroad in Judaism at the time of the king as the Messiah, the Redeemer who would save Israel from their oppressors. But God had never promised a man on horseback. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We are not capable of saving ourselves. We recently had a pretty bad history of trying to do that in this country. And the last person we had who said, only I can fix it, could not fix anything. And now he's trying to run for president again, and he's whining. Jesus is not whining. And that gives us a clue into the character of the king. So Jesus has been crucified. He's hanging from the cross. And he's there with two other criminals who've been condemned and sentenced to die. And one of them joins in the mockery that is being cast upon him by the gathered crowd and the soldiers. And the other one says, what are you doing? What are you doing? This man is innocent. Now, again, I can't attest to the actual veracity of any of the dialogue in the Gospels. So it may well have been dreamt up by Luke, but not because he wanted to put a fast one over us. I find it hard to imagine that someone who has been crucified is able to engage in dialogue. But this is what the gospel tells us. And tells us that Jesus responded to this not by reacting to the first person, but instead reacting to the second person. And Jesus says, in response to his request that he be remembered when he comes into his kingdom, that truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Think about that. Now, what's remarkable about this second criminal's remarks to Jesus is that he calls him by his name, Jesus, not Messiah, not my king, not the person who can supposedly work all sorts of miracles, not the person who's going to get me out of this mess, but he speaks to Jesus by name. And speaking to people by their names means something. It's important. At some level, it shows we care. Think about that. It shows we care. And earlier in the lesson, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So here are these nameless crowds who are heaping abuse on Jesus as he is hanging from the cross. And Jesus' instinct is to ask for forgiveness. Think about that. Now, have you ever borne a resentment? Have you ever been angry about something? Have you ever not wanted to forgive? Think about it. We've all done that at some point in our lives. And maybe we've nurtured that resentment. And we've almost treated it like a pet that we're fond of because we know that feeling. And it gives us a sense of self-righteousness to think we're right and they're wrong. Well, at this moment, Jesus knew he was right. And he knew the people out there were wrong. But Jesus asked God to forgive him. So the king's behavior is marked by generosity of spirit, by a desire to make amends with people, by a desire to have God's forgiveness showered upon them. That's what the true king does. And he's not looking to be in any great procession. He's not looking to be flown around in a special helicopter, or to have people in uniform saluting him. He's not looking to be the center of attention. Instead, Jesus is looking for us to be forgiven by God. Now, last week we talked about stewardship. I'm not going to do that again now. But there is something I do want to bring up, and that is gratitude. And we're going to have our Thanksgiving celebrations later this week. And we'll gather together on Tuesday to share our thanks for God's blessings. But think about this for a moment. Not everyone in this country is going to be celebrating at the end of this week. Not everybody can. Not everybody wants to. And it's easy to wag our fingers and say you're ungrateful. But I'm not a Native American. I'm not the descendant of a Native American. And I can understand why some Native Americans are ticked off. Now, that doesn't mean that I need to engage in any kind of breastfeeding or start wearing a hair shirt or saying I'm sorry. But part of what Jesus is doing on the cross is leading by example. And Jesus, throughout his ministry, has invited us to follow his example. And so rather than being angry with people who don't believe the way we do, can't we try to make some more room at the table? Is your Thanksgiving going to be any less joyful because someone else is not celebrating it somewhere else? By choice, if they choose not to celebrate, that's their business. And then I think about those who are unable to celebrate because they can't afford to. And then I think about the acts of generosity that have been extended over the last couple of weeks by members of our congregation to assist those who can't afford. So I'm going to put her on the spot and once again say thank you to Stacy for her offer of a turkey, which has been gratefully accepted. And it's going to be used to make Thanksgiving dinner for people who are unable to get meals. I want to lift up Pete and Marcia, who have often helped out with the Thanksgiving dinner that's being served over at Sacred Heart Parish. And there are hundreds of people who come in to have a meal at Sacred Heart on Thanksgiving Day. And Pete and Marcia have chosen to celebrate Thanksgiving by serving others. Now, this isn't meant to make anyone else feel bad because they're not doing that. But think about following the example of Jesus, about serving your neighbor, about forgiving your neighbor, and then thinking about what our community could be like. Jesus was here because God loves us. We have done nothing, nothing to warrant God's grace. God does not need to take care of us. But the amazing thing is God wants to take care of us. God loves us. And I know there are times when we may be feeling that maybe we could use a little bit more love from God. But bear with the situation. And think about what God has done for us in Jesus. So I leave you with this Good Friday reading on the Sunday before Advent, with an invitation to think about the blessings we have received from God. Yes, we can make more of what we've been given. And my prayer is that we'll all work together to do so. But remember this. Today is a day that second criminal is in paradise with Jesus. Today is the day that God made. Today we read the story from long ago, not so we can remember something that happened in the dim, dark past, but so we can remember what God is doing in the present. Please remember that. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. We thank you for the gift of all of the evangelists throughout the ages and all those who have served your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.